Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Is it good in your family? Is it troubling sometimes? Yeah. I was talking to one of the dancers this morning, and I was telling them a little bit about my last 4 days, 5 days, which has been very distracting, somewhat turbulent at times. And they were saying, you know, I've got to press through. And I said, don't press. What do you mean? I said, just walk through. He's already opened it up. Just walk in. The way to the throne of grace is to be bold enough to just to walk in. He said, do it with confidence. Do it with boldness. Do it with confidence that you just walk in. Yeah, but I've got all this stuff. Bring the stuff. He knows what to do with it. Don't let the stuff keep you away from the throne, the pathway that Jesus made for us to get to the throne of grace. Because he said, there you'll find help. Because we want help, don't we? Is anybody in here that does not want help? Oh, Barbara, you scared me for a moment. I really don't like it when I ask questions and all of a sudden somebody's got an itch on their head and you think, oh, that's me. I don't need any help today. But no, it is so good. It's so good to see everybody. It's so good to be here. I want to talk to you today a little bit about something that I do believe that we all need. So tell your neighbor, you need this. Now tell yourself, I need this. There you go. I need this. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Just to give you a little background information, and they captured Jerusalem. They captured Judah and took them into captivity for 70 years. Not seven, 70. 70 years. And Daniel was anywhere from 12 to 18 when that started. Somewhere in that category of age when the captivity started. Then when Nebuchadnezzar died and his son took the kingship, Belshazzar, Daniel was 70. When that happened. After Belshazzar was Darius. Daniel was 83 when that happened. But anyway, Belshazzar had, when he was king, he put a great feast on and brought up all of the things that they had taken from Jerusalem, all the gold, all the vessels, all the silver, everything that they had, making a point that we are the conquerors in the feast. So while he was doing that, by the way, the Bible does say that they worshiped, when he brought them in, they worshiped these, and they said, the Bible says this, they worshiped the God of gold. They worshiped the God. Every one of these has a God. They worship the God of gold. They worship the God of silver. They worship the God of brass. They worship the God of iron. They worship the God of wood. They worship the God of stone. So they had a lot of idolatry going on. But in the midst of all of that, all of a sudden, fingers and a hand shows up to write on a plastered wall. It troubled the king. He pulled all of his wise men. He pulled everybody that he felt like knew anything about the mystery of things. He pulled them all in to say, what does it say and what is the meaning? What does this say? What is the meaning? And in the process of that, none of them could do it. They couldn't say what it said, and they couldn't tell him what it meant. But yet, the fingers were writing. And he gets down, he gets depressed, he gets very troubled. The queen, this is in Daniel 5, we'll pick up with some scripture. That was a little bit of an intro of where we are today. But Daniel 5:10, it says this, the queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, she came to the banquet hall and she spoke this, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. Now, how in the world could she do all that knowing that this is happening? Nobody can answer it. Nobody knows what it is. But yet she says, don't let this bother you. And listen to these words. There is a man. There is a man in your kingdom. There is a man in Babylon in whom the spirit of the holy and is the spirit of the holy God. So she knows there is a man in the kingdom of Babylon, idol worship, no God at all as far as the idols that they want to create as gods. Bad place to be in. Bad place to be captivated in. But yet, Judah was captured for those 70 years. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of gods, were found in him. They were found in him. By the way, I'm reading out of the KJV, the new KJV. So you might, if you want to change that, I know I normally do the New American Standard. Then it says, inasmuch as an excellent spirit. Tell your neighbor, excellent spirit. That's what we're going to be talking about today. An excellent spirit. There is a man in this kingdom, in your kingdom, that has an excellent spirit. A spirit of knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams and solving riddles and explaining enigmas. That is untying knots, solving puzzles. And they're all found in this one man, and his name is Daniel. Daniel was brought before the king. The king spoke and said, Daniel, are you the Daniel, that Daniel? Are you the one of the captives from Judah, whom my father, which was Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, brought you from Judah? Are you that Daniel? Verse 14, I have heard of you. Let me ask you something. Has people heard of you? Yeah, but it wasn't good. Well, let's change that today. And I'm sure that it was good in a lot of ways. But here it was. He was heard of. And he was known to be a man with an excellent spirit. And I have heard of you that the spirit of God is in you and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now, the wise men and astrologers, I brought all these before me to read this writing and make it known to me what the interpretation is. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. The fingers writing. Couldn't get an interpretation of that. Verse 16. What does he say? Again, I have heard of you. I have heard of you. That you can give an interpretation and explain these things. Now, if you read the writing and make known to me the interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler of the kingdom. Notice that. What does an excellent spirit bring you to? Brings you to a promotion that you wasn't looking for. So I'm going to give you all this. Daniel answered, this is a spirit of excellence. You want to know what it's like? We're going to be going through some of those things, but what is it like? He answered and said to the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Now, would you freely say, nah, I'm going to do this. Would you do that? An excellent spirit will say, no, I'll do it for you, king. Why? He was honoring the king, even though he was a king that led, listen, he was a king that led in idol worship. But he didn't do that. He didn't personally do the idol worship. You know, you can keep your gifts. I'll do this for you. Give them to someone else. I'll read the writing to the king and make it known what the interpretation is. That's what an excellent spirit does. I'll give it to you and it won't be any charge. Won't be anything for that. So he read the inscription on the wall. He gave the interpretation, and here are the three interpretations, or the three things in it. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Uh-oh. You have been weighed in the balances and been found wanting, lacking. Number three, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Wow. When you begin to see that there's an end to him, there's an end to the kingdom, and it's all finished and it's all wrapped up, and God is involved in all of it. Belshazzar gave the command, clothe him with purple, put the chain around his neck, and make a proclamation saying to him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. What happens next? The king dies that night. He is slain. He is killed that night. So it's almost like this thing, there was a movie out there, you know, said to everybody, they're promised all this and said, and they're going to be pardoned. I think it was life. They're going to be pardoned. And the guy said, the governor said, you're going to be pardoned. I'm turning you because you're not guilty. I pardon you, you know, and then he dies that night. So they still have to stay in prison. So the king dies that night. Darius is made king. Now, we're going to get to this thing in just a minute. Darius is the king, set in the kingdom, and there's three governors, one of whom is Daniel. Daniel's a governor at this time. They were there to protect the king from having any losses. To protect the king from having any losses. Governor Daniel was set in place in a promotion in a wicked world, in a wicked place, to protect the king from losses. That's an excellent spirit. Darius was at a place to where he said, the Bible in verse 3, it says, Daniel distinguished himself, which means he made himself known as a God follower. He distinguished himself, made everybody known above all the other kings and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. He distinguished himself as being a follower of God. That's an excellent spirit. To have our living in such a way that people know without even asking, you're a follower of Jesus. Just by our manner of living. An excellent spirit does that. I think I'm going to set him over the whole realm. There's another promotion. I'm going to put him in charge of everything, even over the governors that's already here. I'm going to give him a promotion. So the governors and all those guys, they sought to find charges against Daniel concerning the kingdom, concerning the rules of the kingdom. They sought to find something wrong with him because they're jealous. They're full of envy, and they don't want him to be over them. So there's no honor in them. There's a duty without a desire to honor. There's a duty that can say, we've got to go to church today as a duty, but if you do not have a desire to worship, you're coming because of duty. And not desire. To have the desire to be here with other Christians, even though you may be sitting with someone that you don't really get along with. No, that wouldn't happen here. I rebuke you, devil. See, the reality is, we're people. We don't please everybody. We don't intend to please everybody. We don't try to please everybody. And in the process of our living, sometimes we don't get along with each other. But the Bible commands us to what? Love one another. So these guys are trying to find something wrong. They couldn't find anything. They couldn't find anything that he did wrong in the kingdom. He didn't break any laws. He didn't break any statutes. He couldn't find anything wrong with him because they want to bring him down. Do you hear that? I just want to bring him down. I hate him so bad, I just want to bring him down. And like we said before, when you have anger and hate, when you have hate in your heart, you also have murder in your heart. No, I don't really want. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And sometimes that does get me in trouble, but I'm perfectly okay with that kind of trouble as long as it's in the Bible. So they can't find anything wrong with him. So these men said, okay, what we'll do, we shall find, let's see if we can find any charge against Daniel. Or we can't find a charge against Daniel. So let's see what we can do about seeing how is he doing in the law of his God. So let's look at in his God. Let's find out what his God wants him to do. Let's find out if he's doing everything perfect concerning his God. Look, there's so much of that going on in our world today. There's things that happened 40 years ago that some ministers are having to hear about again today, even though they've repented, even though they've admitted it, they've repented it, and 40 years ago, and here they are, they're going to have to give up. Why is that? All we want to do is bring them down. Are you hearing me? Don't be one of them people. Pray for them. You understand what I'm saying? There's a world out there that wants to bring everything about Christianity down. Make it non-existent if we have to. So they went to looking. So listen to this. What's this thing about an excellent spirit? What does it mean to us today? Psalm 16:3 says this, for all the saints who are on the earth today, for all the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones. Here's a question. Are you a saint? Five of you are. I don't know about the rest of you. If you're born again, God calls you a saint.
Paul wrote to the church, he said, to the saints of this church, to the saints. Listen, you got to stop seeing yourself as a sinner. Even though you do sin, you got to stop seeing yourself as a sinner. You got to see yourself as God sees you. God sees you as a saint, one of his beloved ones. Imperfect as we are, but absolutely perfect in him. Okay. The saints on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The Father delights in you. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. The Father delights in you. But I said, the Father delights in you. He might not be happy about what you just did, what you just said, but he delights in you, in who you are. You belong to him. You are his child. You are his excellent one on this earth. We don't see ourselves that way. And when we don't, we see ourselves as, okay, I'm just this. I'm just an old wretched sinner. I'm just that. No, no. You're a child of the living God. You're a child of the King. You're a precious one. He delights in you. You're born again. You belong to him. He belongs to you. You are a saint of the living God. If you're a saint of the living God, he says, they are my delight because they are my excellent ones. So it's already built into us being born again that we have the excellent one inside us and we can become excellent in our spirit. For 2 Peter 1 says this, for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith, that word virtue means excellence. And to excellence, add knowledge. And to knowledge, add self-control. And for self-control, ask perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. And brotherly kindness. And have brotherly love. Here's an amazing thing. For if these things are in you and they abound, in other words, they're plentiful and they abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ if they're in you and abound. But those who lack these things are short-sighted. Short-sighted. I lost my glasses for 3 days this week. I did. Non-existent. I'm like, okay, I don't need them for close-up. I need them. Are they two of you? Never mind. But I lost them for about 3 days, maybe four. I don't know. I know it was a good 3 days. Couldn't find them. Brenda, I said, I lost my glasses And she said, well, let's find them. I'll help you. So we turned our house upside down and didn't find them. Y'all know that term? We just turned our house upside down. You looked in every drawer. You looked underneath. You swept underneath. All that kind of stuff. Couldn't find them. So I decided I must have left them at church. So I head up, or I almost head up, and I'm about to go in. About to get in the car and truck, and I said, God, and I'd already prayed, God, help me find a glass. And I already prayed. But this time I paused and I stood and I said, Lord, you know I need my glasses. So would you lead me to where they are? Because I know you know. Brenda don't know where they are. I've accused Brenda in the past of throwing them away. Where's my glasses? I don't know how to see your glasses. You probably threw them in the trash. That's what you probably did. But I wasn't doing that. She was helping me find them. So anyway, I almost get in my truck. So I go back in the house. And I'm going to look one more time underneath my lounging chair. So looked, nope, they're not there. And I turn it back over, and I reach to get my keys, and laying on the floor, just like that,
just like that. I look and I say, there's my glasses. In the wide, I mean, it's sitting beside a chair, nothing covering them up. So I reached down and I said, thank you, Lord. I told Brent, I said, found my glasses. She said, you found them? And I said, no, the Lord showed me where they were. And I showed her. She said, we've already looked there. And I said, I know. So what did that mean to me? You know, Bobby Connor told a story about he lost his knife, and he told the Lord he wanted his knife back because it was a very special knife to him, because it was a heritage type thing. And he said he saw the knife floating in the air and landed on the bed. I didn't see them float. I didn't see them land. But they were in the floor, uncovered, wide open, that we've already looked 7 or 8, 10, 20, 30 times. And there they lay. Now, I want to ask you, who put them there? God did. God knew where they were. I don't know where they were, but I know where they ended up. And God, you may say, God doesn't care about that. Oh, yeah, he does. I remember talking to a Presbyterian lady one time. She came in and she was talking to me and she was crying. She was really remorseful. I said, what's going on? And I mean, she was doing business with Rita in the office, but she was crying. I said, what's happening? What's going on? And she told me about she lost this necklace that belonged to her great-great-grandmother, and she lost it, and she can't find it anywhere. And I told her, I said, do you think the Lord cares about you finding it? I don't know. He's got so many things he has to do. That's really what she's got. He's got so many things he has to do. And I said, that's true. But you belong to him. You're special. I said, would you mind if I prayed for the Lord to show you where the necklace is? No, I don't mind, but he's real busy. And I said, he's not too busy not to look after you. So it was less than a week. Rita, you remember this. I know you do. So it was within that week she comes walking back in, and she said, I got to talk to Pastor Terry. So she comes in and she said, I found the necklace. And I said, I bet it was somewhere you had already looked. She said, you're exactly right. I said, well, the Lord put it there for you to find them. God loves us. He truly does. We think he's only going to take care, he's only going to watch after the things that we really need help in. No, he's going to look after everything. Now, I know I've taken a little trip about my glasses. I understand that. So I'm going to leave that rabbit right where he's at, and I'm going to come back over here and get back into here. But the whole thing is about God is in charge. How much do we believe that he cares about? One of the reasons we do not have an excellent spirit is because we've got a small image of what God can do through us. Our view of what God can do through us is so small that we can't get excited about who he is. Okay. So, he says, add to your faith, excellence. So what do we get from that? The very first thing God tells you to reach for after you have faith in him, the very first thing he says add to is excellence. That's the very first thing he asks us to get to. Go after this. Once you have faith in me, you go after the spirit of excellence, because it'll set the tone for your entire life. And it will. Excellence is the first thing. That's what we said. It's the will of God for you to achieve excellence. So don't be content with mediocre goals. Don't be content with mediocre goals. He said, you're an excellent one.
You're one of mine, and you're on this earth. An excellent spirit will lead us to the highest potential that we've ever had. Excellent ones. Excellence is not composed, put together from the outside. It's released from the inside. It is released from the inside. You've made your mind up of who he is, what he can do, and what he can do through you. An excellent spirit will conquer what average people will complain about. An excellent spirit will conquer the very thing that average people will just sit and complain about. How many of you have just sat before and complained about it? 8 of you. Okay. You're going to preach online next Sunday. No, I'm messing with you. I really am. I like picking on you. I really do. But see, here's the thing about it. It's easy to complain about what's wrong. So easy. But what an excellent spirit does is find the solution. Daniel is an example of that. We don't have time to go into that, but Daniel is an example of that. Finding the solution instead of complaining about what the issue is. An excellent spirit will pursue solutions. Average people will stare at problems. How many of you are still staring at a problem? You know, don't raise your hand. Anyway. Excellence will originate in your mind. It'll translate to your what you say, and it'll demonstrate in your action. It'll originate in your thoughts. Are you excellent or are you not? Are you an excellent one? Nah. Well, you're disobeying God in your thinking, because he says you already are. And it'll translate in what you say, what your speech is, and it'll demonstrate in your action. An excellent spirit will make improvements, not excuses. How many of you are good at making excuses? 2! Hey, we got 2 honest people in here. I'm messing with you. I really am. So there's principles of excellence. Let's go through this real quick and we'll go home. Principle of excellence. Do not settle for average. There's no resurrection in the killing of time. There's an old country song, "This killing time is killing me." That's true. Don't settle for average. Excellence stands out. The word excellent, he said he had an excellent spirit. That word excellent means to jet above all others. To jet above all others. That's what was in him. Why? Because he had already distinguished it. He'd already distinguished himself to say, I'm going to follow God regardless. I'm going to do what God wants me to do regardless. And then he said that he jetted above the excellent spirit. He went high above. He stood out above all the others. That's where promotion comes from. It comes from the Lord. The Bible says promotion comes from God. So once we establish that we're going to have an excellent spirit, we will jet above others. Say, you know, I've noticed you. I've noticed it. You do that, or you, whatever it is. And then we want to give you this. We want to give you this job, which is greater than the job that you have. Promotion comes from God, and all we have to say is, I'm determined to have an excellent spirit about me, and I'm going to distinguish myself that way. Others are going to see that we follow Jesus. It will cost you. Salvation is free. Everything else will cost you. Why? Because you've got to give up your will. You've got to give up your what you want. You have to give up this. Why? That's your cross. And that's when you get to follow him. You don't follow him with your cross laying over here. You're not following him. You're standing here looking at this problem, making an excuse. Because what he's already said, pick up your cross, your cross, and follow me. We can't follow him without picking this up. We can tell ourselves we're doing it, but it don't make it so. Let's look at the next thing. Develop a commitment to an excellent spirit. Don't worry about being first. Don't make it your priority to be first. Make it your priority to be excellent. Everything else will take care of itself. You can try to make it first and not have an excellent spirit. You can be first and have a real bad attitude. You can become a minister and have a very bad attitude. Are you hearing me? Okay. An excellent spirit does not work because people are watching. I remember being at Hurt Selney's, and it was my first week there, and all of a sudden, was all in there, and it's my first week at this place, you know, and there's about 12 guys in the shop and everything, and all of a sudden, the door cracks open and slams, and 11 guys go, they're running over themselves to get out of there, and I'm sitting down, I'm like, what in the world is going on? So he walks in, and one of the guys is back at the back, and he says, come on. Get out of there. Get out of there. Come on. I'm like, and he, it's the big boss. He comes in, he said, I'm A.D. Page Jr. And I come out of my seat and said, I'm Terry Howell, the one and only right here. He smiled and he said, where's the rest of the guys? Because he already knew. 12 guys in here. He said, where's the rest of them? And I said, a lot of busy things came up real quick. I said, but this is my first week, so I didn't know anything about it. So anyway, let me move on. Don't do work because people are watching. Don't do work to impress others. Just do the work. Do the best you can. An excellent spirit will possess ethics and integrity. You know, your gift can carry you a lot further down the road than your character can sustain you. Your gifting can blow you up to the place that you can go to this place, and all of a sudden, your character can't keep you there. The character, gifting's great. Character is more important. Have the integrity. And that's what an excellent spirit will have, the spirit of integrity. It produces trust. People will hear what you say, watch what you do, and then they'll trust you if it's equal. The thing about integrity, it means to be one. Integrity means to be one. What does that mean? It means that what you said and what you did has become one. Integrity. That's an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit will show genuine respect for others. Genuine respect. For others, respect means to honor, to show esteem, to value highly. And don't worry, you can't fake it. You can't fake respect. You can't fake it. They know. It could be by tone. It could be by the way you look at whatever it is. They know. Yeah, it's like this. Well, what do you think, Pastor? Well, I don't know what I think, to be honest with you, because my mind's on something else right now. So people want to say, well, you got to call me pastor. You got to call me this. You got to call me. Well, the Pharisees did all that. I want all the respect. They want it because they want to have it. And when you don't give it, they get out of whack. Okay, let's move on. Excellent spirit respects others. No need to fail. Excellent spirit will go the second mile. An excellent spirit will not be afraid to do your best. It may take longer, but do it right the first time. Responsibility is greater than your rights. So do what they ask you to do and then do some more. If they ask you to do this, you need to understand that that's important to them. So do it without them asking, because you know it's important to them. That's an excellent spirit. Go the second mile. Do your best. Always go. The excellent spirit will always go beyond the assignment. An excellent spirit is consistent. It will attract promotion. An excellent spirit never stops improving. Don't get so enthused about what you have just accomplished. Maybe you have accomplished great things. Are you through? No. So don't, it's great that you're successful. It's great, but guess what? There's something else for you to accomplish. There's something else for you to be excellent at. So don't let your success level you off where that success is. There's always something more to learn. There's always something more to do. Make excellent. Excellence will always gives 100%. I ran into this. It says, don't be a cop-out. Don't be a hold-out. Don't be a drop-out. Cop-out, hold-out, drop-out. Be all-out. I'm all-out for this thing. The last one is excellence. Make excellence a lifestyle. Do you think the Lord wants us to have an excellent spirit? Absolutely. Today's the first day that we can start doing that. And I'm not saying you haven't already done it. I'm sure a lot of you have. But I'm sure some of us have been weighed in the balances and we've been found wanting when it comes to an excellent spirit. It's not something that we should be down about. It's be something that we're glad that we heard about it. We should be happy and glad and enthused about this is what God wants in my life, and he's given me the grace to perform it. So I'd like for everybody to be one of those. I've heard of you. You're the one who walks with God. You're the one who follows Jesus. You're one of the real Christians. I've heard of you. What about this? I've heard of that church. You hear me? I've heard of y'all. I heard of how you're so loving and you're so accepting and you walk with Jesus and you really love people. I've heard of you. The only reason they're going to do that is not because of me. It's going to be because of y'all. I've heard of you. Even kings begins to notice. Don't you want that? Don't you have a desire for that? Let's stand together. So we have to change our mindset about this thing. Ask yourself this question now. Can God use me? Can God use me to advance the kingdom? Will he? Can he? Is he going to? Absolutely. You're on this earth, and he's already called you an excellent one. And since you have had faith, he says, now what I want you to reach for is this thing called excellence. I believe every single one of you can do the excellent thing. Father, thank you for this group of people. Thank you for their patience. Thank you for their attentiveness. And thank you, God, that they'll even put up with me for a while. God, I just ask you in Jesus' name to bring us to the place that we will be committed to this thing called excellence, and that our spirit will actually grow into this place of doing everything right, doing everything pure, and doing these things to honor you regardless of what the opposition is. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name. In the same chapter, one last thought, in the same chapter that we're talked about right this, Daniel gets thrown in a lion's den. Now, what does an excellent spirit do? Protects you from all the bites of the enemy. I'll let you go on that. We love y'all. See you. Now we have spaghetti. So everybody's invited, visitors and all, come on down to the Family Life Center. It's to help Trail Life, the Trail Life boys. Thank you guys so much. Be at the back.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.